So we have been doing a series over the last month on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Who's been enjoying the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I've really enjoyed just how different people have come and brought a different gift each week. And so today we're going to be looking at the gift of discerning of spirits. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I actually haven't heard many messages on this before. I've heard discernment, but not discerning of spirits. So we're going to dive a little bit into that today. But I want to just open up to our introductory text, so 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 11. You can open up there. So it says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." And so we've been looking at the different gifts. This is our Corinthians 12 gifts, but we've been looking at some gifts from Romans 12 and also Ephesians 4. But basically, I see three groups of giftings in the Bible. We have our manifestation or power gifts, as it's sometimes known in 1 Corinthians 12, which is what we're going to be focusing on today. We have our motivational gifts, as some call it, in Romans 12. And we have our ministry gifts, which are the offices in Ephesians 4. And the offices are only given to some people, and their job is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And they are given and distributed, so I'm just doing a little bit of a recap, by the Holy Spirit. Now, when I've been studying this, I see that sometimes this may be given spontaneously, such as when Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his family. They were from the Gentiles, and they were preaching the gospel to them. And all of a sudden, they believed, and they couldn't believe it. Peter couldn't believe that the Holy Spirit had even been poured out on them too, for they started speaking in tongues and praising the Lord. And then after that, they actually got baptized in water. We also see it given through the laying on of hands, such as Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:14, where it says, "Stir up the gift that was given to you through prophecy in the laying on of hands." And there's a very spiritual truth or principle in laying on of hands. There's many, and that would be a whole other message. It would be good to do one day. But today I want to look at the gift of the distinguishing between spirits, or the discerning between spirits. And so we're going to look at what it is, what it isn't, and then how do we actually grow in the gift of discernment. So a helpful way, I believe, to look at it is to start with what it isn't, because I think we've often confused discerning of spirits with other things, and it's not. So let's see how discerning you are, because I showed my husband this joke this morning and he didn't quite get it. So this is a good test to see whether you have discernment or not. Can anyone read that? That one wasn't manna. Do you get it? Good. If you don't, we'll pray for you later. So a helpful way to work it out, what it's not. So it's not natural perception. See, a lot of us may have natural perception where we're just naturally very perceptive. And women actually, statistically speaking, tend to be more perceptive. Amen? Something feels off about someone and we can just sense it. Or we can tell that someone isn't being genuine and is false. And kids, if you're listening, we can tell when you're lying. Mothers are very good at that. But this is not the gift of discerning of spirits, and it's actually not spiritual discernment. It's just some people are naturally more wired that way, which is why people that aren't Christians can often operate more in, like, we think it's discernment, but it's actually more perception. Then we have spiritual discernment. And I think this is where the confusion often lies, because I hear many sermons on discernment, but this is, again, not the discernment of spirits or distinguishing of spirits. And we've all have this as Christians. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have spiritual discernment. But that needs to grow as we mature in our faith, which Hebrews 5:10 talks about. So you've all probably experienced, you've walked into a shop. I mean, even yesterday, our family was at the Gidgiganup show, and my son and I walked past one of the stalls, and we just like knew not to go there. It just felt dark. We felt very uneasy. And so this is spiritual discernment, where we discern between good and evil, and we discern between good and almost good. And there is a difference. Sometimes we can think it's good, but it's actually not. It's not evil, but it's not right. It's not what God is wanting to do. And Romans 12 talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can discern or test and approve the will of God, His good and pleasing will. And so as Christians, we all have spiritual discernment, but we need to grow in that, which we're going to look at more later. This one, I think, is a very important point. It's not suspicion or judgment. It's not walking around trying to discern everyone's motives and being suspicious of everyone and calling it discernment. It's not that. And I think, you know, part of that is when our filters are transformed, then we won't operate in suspicion and judgment. We're actually called to operate in love. We're going to get into more of that later. But I think often this is when we find we're more judging or suspicious about things, it's often coming out of a place of unresolved pain or disappointment that the Holy Spirit actually wants to heal, so that our filters are actually His heart. And lastly, it's not just seeing what the demonic is doing. Like, we had a classic example today where it wasn't that, where Monique saw angels in the room. And we have to train ourselves to actually begin to pray, Holy Spirit, show me what you're doing. Like, when we're leading a service, I'm always praying, Holy Spirit, show me what you're doing. Help me to discern. When people come up and say, I want to bring this word, help me to discern what you're saying. And often when I know it's the Lord, I'll get a quickening in my spirit, and it'll be like just a confirmation deep within that I know that it's... But it's also about knowing your word, which we'll get into, because then we can back it up with that. And so this gift of discerning of spirits is primarily meant to be used to reveal the presence of God. So whatever is blocking that, we want to discern, but our focus is actually the presence of God. It's actually the Holy Spirit. And secondly, it's the lack thereof. So what is the discerning of spirits? Well, the Greek word for discerning in 1 Corinthians 12 is diakrisis. And it's a word described, it describes being able to distinguish, discern, judge, or appraise a person, situation, or environment. And it's used to discern between the spirits at work, so whether that's the demonic or whether that's God, to discern between what is of the flesh and what is of the Lord. And so people with this gift will often see things. Often if you have this gift, you will be a real seer. Like, you can see what's going on. And you might see angels, or you might see demonic spirits at work. And it's for discerning what is of God and what is not of God. It is useful to discern false teaching from true teaching. And we're all called to do that. To discern whether prophetic utterances are from the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 talks about this. But people that have the gift of discerning of spirits will often more likely see the Spirit behind all of that, or they'll be just more aware. And they'll be more sensitive to things in the spirit. So I just wanted to point out, though, we talk about false prophets. There are times, so in 1 Thessalonians 5, it talks about don't despise prophecy, but instead discern whether it's from God. Now, in this case, it's not actually talking about false prophets. So false prophets is not the same as a prophetic word that's wrong. So a false prophet is more someone that intentionally is trying to deceive the body of Christ and manipulate, whereas sometimes we get a wrong prophetic word or we end up going a bit into the flesh, and that's just the wrong prophetic word, and we're called to discern that. And if we pick that up, we just don't take that on, and we bring that, if we're picking it up, you know, here, we bring it to the leadership. Everything always goes through the leadership. And when I say leadership, I don't say leader, like elders and pastors. But that there is a difference between a false prophet and a false prophetic word. Does that make sense? So I don't want ever anyone to feel like, oh, if I get it wrong, I'll be called a false prophet. No, you won't. This is how we learn. So I want to just look at some examples in the Bible of the discerning of spirits at work and some personal examples. And then I want to look at how do we sharpen our discernment, whether it's spiritual discernment or whether it's discerning of spirits. We're all called to sharpen our discernment. So how do we actually do that? So one of the accounts of, in the Bible of this at work is in Acts 16, there's a report of a woman following Paul, Silas and Timothy. And she's going around following them. And I think it's for about 3 days. And she's proclaiming, these men are from the Most High God and are telling the way to be saved. And she kept this up for many days until Paul finally turned around and told and rebuked the spirit and told her to be quiet. Now, on the outside, this seems good. She's like proclaiming, like, you know, they're from God and they're selling a message about God and how to be saved. However, Paul discerned that the spirit behind the woman's words and actions was actually demonic. And he cast the spirit out of her in that moment. And the commotion was causing disruption and was counterproductive. And that is often a clue. And again, you've got to discern. It doesn't always mean it's demonic at work if there's disruption. Sometimes it's someone just being in the flesh and not understanding that there's order in worship and things like that. And so, we have to use wisdom with that. But just for an example that I've witnessed before, I was at a conference and we're all praising God and we're all singing, and there was this one lady that just seemed louder than everyone else, and she was yelling out, praise be to Jesus and Yahweh, and just carrying on. And there was something in my spirit that was getting really irritated. Like, I was really mad. And so I asked the Lord, what is it? And I just felt him say, that's a religious spirit. It's actually not of me. And in that moment, you have to use wisdom. So what I wanted to do was turn around and be like, Paul, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Be quiet. But instead, I just started praying quietly in the spirit, because it wasn't actually my responsibility in that meeting to tell her to be quiet. I wasn't a leader there. I didn't have the authority there. So I just prayed quietly and she did calm down. So it's really like on the outside that looked good, but actually it wasn't of God. So let's look at some other examples. In Matthew 16, we have the incident where Peter has just had the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. And then Jesus tells him he's going to be put to death. Peter responds by saying, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus replies by saying, get behind me, Satan. Now, I've always read this and thought, geez, this is a bit harsh. People think I'm harsh. I don't call you Satan. And, you know, but Jesus is saying, like, get behind me, Satan. And again, it's another example of discerning of spirits. Jesus rightly discerns the motivating force behind Peter. Now, I want to make an important note. Jesus wasn't calling Peter Satan. He was speaking to the spirit behind Peter's words. And I think that's an important distinction to make. See, often when there is spirits behind an activity or someone's actions, we can get mad or angry or even hate the person. But we actually have to realize that our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so we actually address the spirit behind that work, not the person. And my dad's told me many stories when he's been in pastoring and counseling. And there was one that he was counseling someone, and then all of a sudden he detected there was a spirit at work controlling this person, and he said, "I rebuke it in Jesus' name." And this person leapt at him like a roaring lion and basically jumped on him, lunged on him, and turned into someone else. And he said, "In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, be quiet." And it was gone. Now, I don't recommend that we do that. He was a pastor, he was trained in that, he understood that. And so we have to operate at the authority and the maturity that we have and the gifting that we have. But just to say that we have to be very careful about, even when I've had, like for example, a recent thing where I've had this friend that has just constantly been sending me this message after message after message, and just anger and bitterness and hate and accusation. And I haven't taken it on. I haven't taken it personally because I really believed and I sensed there's a spirit at work here. So I've been praying freedom. I've been praying that the spirit would be broken. And so we have to be discerning. Now, if you're not familiar with all this and it's feeling a little bit like, oh, I'm not sure about all this, that's okay. We operate at the level of faith that we're at. And I'm not going to be going around casting out any demons today. So you can all just breathe and be okay. But I just want to teach on how this works in the Bible. Another example, Acts chapter 8. We have the story of Simon the sorcerer. And he was a recent convert to Christianity and was amazed at the signs and wonders that were being done in the name of Jesus. And so when Peter and John arrives and starts laying hands on believers to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he offers them money to buy the gift so he could have the same gift and go around doing the same thing. And in this instance, Peter and John did not try and cast out a demon, but instead rebuked him and told him to repent, as they discerned his heart to be full of bitter jealousy and captive to sin. And so there's really important that we actually have wisdom alongside the gift of discernment of spirits. And we ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do with this? I'm picking this up. What do I do with it? And if you're not sure, go and find a leader and ask them. So I've found that the gift of discerning of spirits is often interwoven with many other gifts. So often people might have a word of knowledge about something, and then they pray for that someone, that person's delivered and healed, and then there's a gift of healing in that. But you have to be really careful with this. I've seen it go wrong so many times where people, even mentally unwell, people have been trying to cast demons out, and that is not of God. That's not of love. You have to be careful. And if I'm not sure, I'm just praying, just quietly. But there was an example where a lady from this church came to me and she wasn't able to sing. And so they had gone to throat specialists and no one could work out a natural cause for this problem. And she said to me, "I actually feel like it's a spiritual problem. Will you pray for me?" And so together we began to pray, and God gave her a picture of something that happened in the past, and she saw this picture. So we prayed into that, and we broke anything off her, and we just asked the Holy Spirit to fill her afresh. Nothing majorly happened. We just prayed quite normally, and then she went off into her car. And 5 minutes later, she called me and she said, "Kyla, it's gone. My throat's been released. I can sing." And that Sunday, she was in church and she told me that she was just singing, worshiping the Lord. And someone turned around to her and said, "What a beautiful voice you have." She said she's never been able to do that. But God showed us together. It wasn't weird. It was just God show us in the spirit what was going on. We prayed about that and she was set free. And so I don't think it has to be weird. It just has to be listening to the Holy Spirit. And again, always operate in the level of faith and grace you've been given with any of these gifts. We never operate outside of our boundary line, our gifting. And the Bible is clear about order in the church in how to use gifts. Thing is, if you discern something, even in here, where Monique did, she discerned angels, she always comes to the leadership and checks with that, because God has given spiritual authority for the leaders to be shepherds of the church. And always ask the Lord when you sense. I find with things like in our lives, sometimes we just assume it's just natural. But I find if there's a pattern of things, often there is something else going on. So, for example, my dad was telling me a story of just last week where they have their home for sale. They have their home on house opens, and so all these different people are coming in. And the other week, my mum went to make a cup of coffee and poured the jug, like the whole, I don't know what it's called, but the filter coffee, and she went to pour it and it spilled everywhere. So not a problem, cleaned it up. She then went to make it again, went to pour it, spilled everywhere. Okay, cleaned it up. She finally made the cup of coffee, went outside and knocked it over. And again, there was nothing. My mum's healthy, everything's normal. And so my dad, who has got the gift of discerning of spirit, said, okay, once is fine, twice, okay, but three times in a row, like, Holy Spirit, is there anything going on here? And the Lord showed him there was some spiritual activity on the property that obviously had come in from house opens, needed to be dealt with, prayed, and all good. And so sometimes what is natural, we think is natural, is there's something else at work. But sometimes it is just natural and we're trying to look for a demon behind every chair, and that's not okay either. So we really have to have wisdom with this. All right. I hope I haven't freaked out too many people yet. Just seeing if there's anything else. Yeah, so the Bible also talks about, like, when you pray for someone and you break something off, that person has to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, that demon will go and take seven more friends and come back. And so we just have to be really careful. And I just think, again, stay in your lane. You may be down here and we just want to pray, God, give us more discernment, that we would be spiritually discerning as a people. And so I want to talk finally about sharpening our discernment, because as I said before, we all have spiritual discernment. And so I'm speaking into this area now. How do we sharpen our spiritual discernment as believers? See, we need to have ears that are unblocked so that we would hear the frequency of heaven and we would hear his gentle, small voice, and so that we could step into a new way of doing things. I've been reading that verse that we often quote, but it says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, but see, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? And I think part of the reason sometimes we fail to step into what is new and what is next is because we actually lack discernment and we actually lack perception, and we need to have our ears unblocked and our eyes uncovered, that we would actually hear and see what the Lord is doing. So how do we do that? And again, God just popped Romans 12 into my spirit. Is Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can discern God's will. Or in other translations says, so that you can test and approve God's will, his good and pleasing will. Again, that discernment is needed. Because as I said, a lot of harm has been done in the name of discernment, but it's when it's in fact just been suspicion or religiosity or judgment. It's not the heart of the Father. And we want to be a church that reflects the heart of the Father. So I want to read a scripture from Hebrews 5 where Paul is talking to this church about making sure they are not spiritually dull or they're not dull of hearing so that they can practice discernment and know the difference between right and wrong. So I want to pick it up in verse 11. So he's just talked about Jesus being the high priest. So he's just done a whole thing about that. And then he says here, there is much more we could say to you about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and you don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. But in the ESV, it talks about you've become dull of hearing. And then goes on to say in verse 14, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So then he goes on in Hebrews 6 and he says in verse 9, dear friends, even though we're talking this way, we don't really believe it applies to you. And then it jumps down, we're jumping down to verse 11. He says, our greatest desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. So he's saying, even though we're talking like this, we're not saying you're like this, but our hope is that you don't become like this. And the way you don't become like this is that you would love others. Then you won't become spiritually dull and indifferent. So, what does spiritually dull mean? It's really about being hard of hearing. Our ears can be blocked. And you know when your ears are blocked, that happened to me going up the hill yesterday to Gidgegan up. Suddenly it just suddenly blocked up and I couldn't hear clearly. And when we're dull of hearing, we can't hear clearly. But the Lord wants to sharpen our hearing so that we can discern sharply. It also refers, it's translated as slothful. So it can refer to a condition of spiritual apathy and laziness that prevents spiritual development. So the people here were at danger of becoming spiritually dull because they weren't growing in their maturity as believers and therefore unable to discern what was good or evil. So I want to go really practically now. So how do we stay spiritually sharp? How do we walk in greater discernment as a body of believers, as individuals? The first way Paul talks about is that we would be mature in the word. Now, I know a lot of you are very mature in the word, and you've been Christians for a very long time. But I think part of the issue can be that we know the word so much that we become almost apathetic towards it. It's just like, oh, I've heard that, I've done that. But we would have, my prayer is that we would have such a hunger again for the word of God, that we would not only be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word, believers of the word. And so these believers had started on their backward journey by drifting first from the word. And we do that when we conform to the patterns of this world. And we're not transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then they moved on to doubting the word in Hebrews 3. And as a result, they were now in danger of being dull of hearing. And so to be spiritually in tune and sharp, we need to be in the Word. We need to know our Word, and we need to be doers of the Word. Hebrews 4:12 talks about the Word being the great discerner between what is of the flesh and what is of the Spirit. And how can we discern even prophetic words that we get or corporately if we don't know the Word? Like, our Word has got to be the line marker for the words that we receive. And so I loved how Monique said, okay, God, I've got this. Now give me a word to confirm that. And she went back to the Word of God. So we've always got to be going back to the Word of God. And even as we move more and more in spiritual gifts, it's always got to come back to the Word of God. And so that's not just the leader's responsibility in Thessalonians or even in Corinthians when it's talking about giving messages of tongues. We actually then have to weigh up the Word and make sure it aligns with the Word. We also need to know Jesus, who is the Word with a capital T, and learn to walk closely with Him. Because I know for me, like, when I'm walking closely with Him, then my discernment is so much sharper. And that's why I think, well, I know prayer and fasting is so important as a believer to do, because it makes us so much more spiritually sharp, because the things of the world fade away. I believe also that we need to be discerning our own heart. So how do we become sharper in our discernment? We discern our own heart. So David prayed in, I think it was Psalm 139, verse 23. Yes, it's up there. Lord, search my heart and see if there be any wickedness in there. In other words, Lord, keep my filter clean so that I can minister out of a heart that is of you. Romans 12 again, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can discern the will of God. See, faith comes when we know God's will. And discernment is about learning to recognize, what is it that you're doing, Lord? So allow the Holy Spirit to deal with our hearts, that there would be no bitterness in there, that there would be no offense. That we give Him our disappointments, that we give Him our pain. Because as I said before, often suspicion and judgment comes as discernment when our hearts are not in check. You know, we've often quoted like that verse, Luke 6:42, but a friend pointed out to me recently, like, we often say, oh, we shouldn't judge the speck on someone else's eye. Like, what about the log in our own eye? But the Bible actually says, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye. Now, how can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So it's not saying don't deal with that, it's just saying discern your own heart first. Allow the Holy Spirit to check what's in your heart so that we can see clearly. Because when we don't, it clouds our vision and it blocks our hearing. Still following? You've been very quiet. Am I giving too much? I always give too much information, but hopefully you're getting it. Keep loving one another. Hebrews 6:11 that we read before. Our desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not be spiritually dull and indifferent. You have to love one another. That doesn't mean that we agree with each other, but we love one another with the same love that Christ has for the church, that we would love like Him. And it's not a love that we manufacture ourselves. It's a love that the Holy Spirit produces. So love is how all the gifts flow. The whole point of the gifts is to build up the body of Christ. The whole point of discernment isn't to harm the body. It's not to embarrass. It's not to point out and point the finger. It's actually so that the body may be healed and protected so that it could grow in maturity. And that's how we have to use all the gifts. The final thing that Paul tells us to do is to practice. Hebrews 5:14, and we think this has been so unspiritual. If we have the gifts, we should just flow in them naturally. But I actually believe that God gives us a seed. It's not always the fullness. It has to grow into maturity. It says prophesy at the level of faith you've been given. But we have to see that faith grow, and therefore the gift grows. And so he says here, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And so as mature believers, we need to be growing in this. We need to be practicing this. And we start by just saying, Lord, is there anything, I think, in my home, in my life, that you want to get rid of? That's not of you. And I heard a powerful testimony at the Victory Conference I went to just recently, where a lady was going through prayer and fasting, and she would get up into her car at 5 o'clock in the morning and just sit there because that was the only quiet place she had with her children. So she would sit there and she would just pray, and the Holy Spirit began to show her things that she had allowed into her home that she was to get rid of. And at that time, she had blocked tear ducts, and so she constantly cried, and no one could help her. It was going to take major surgery. And her son was not sleeping through the night because he was so afraid, and he always had to sleep the nightlight on. Anyway, God showed her all these things, that she just started being obedient, being doers of the word, and got rid of some stuff. Anyway, I don't know how many nights into it, but her son came to her, and she didn't tell her family she was doing this, but her son came and said, Mum, there's no more monsters in my room. I can sleep. And he just slept soundly through the night. He was no longer afraid. And another amazing thing is her tear ducts completely healed and completely set free. And the other thing was that she used to be such a shy and timid girl, but she said, like, slowly God just began to give her boldness and power in the Spirit. And she got up at Victory and shared with such boldness. And, you know, we got to listen. We got to have discernment. I'm not saying we look under, we see a demon in everything. I'm not saying that. Hear my heart. I'm just saying let us have ears that are spiritually in tune. Let's look what the Lord is doing so that we can discern what he wants to do. And that we would operate under the God-given leadership of the church. And so as we close, if I can have the worship team up, please, or even just the piano player is fine. But I just want to say a prayer over us that Paul prayed over the church. And I want to pray this prayer from Philippians 1 over you. And I just want to ask you that if you desire to have greater discernment, if you feel like your ears are partially blocked or partially dull, as I pray this prayer over you, I just want you to put your hands over your ears and believe by faith that the Lord is just going to open up your ears to unblock your ears and to give you sharper discernment. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. So, Father, we just pray for every person here who has their hands over their ears. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would unblock our spiritual ears. Father, we don't want to have dull ears. We don't want to have dull hearing. Lord, we want to be sharp and in tune with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if there's things in our lives that even now that you're highlighting, Holy Spirit, that we need to repent of, that we actually need to throw out, I just pray you would show that right now. Search our hearts, O Lord, and see if there be any thinking there that would be a blockage. It's going to take a moment to do this. Father, I pray that you give us eyes to see what it is you're doing. Lord, I come against any confusion. Lord, even as I've been speaking, that there'd be no confusion. But there would be clarity to hear what it is you want us to hear today. And that will be different for every person, but I pray there would be a truth that's dropped in the heart of every person here today. Thank you for your body. Thank you, Father, that your heart is not to leave us how we are, but to be a body that grows and matures. In Jesus' name.